today on Compassion Radio.
And Jesus says to him, "Why are you doing this? You need to stop, because I have a better plan, and I'm going to use that wounding to bring about great revival across the land."
Yeah. And Jesus is also saying, "I'm not relenting. Mm-hmm. I'm stronger than you. That point's not going anywhere. The more you kick against it, the more you cut yourself, because I'm not backing up."
Mm-hmm.
You will listen. You will comply. You will go.
We relentlessly pursued him.
Welcome back to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Today, Bram and his wife Sandy continue with their weekly study in the book of Acts called Chasing the Word Together. This is Frank Montenegro. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. And here's Bram and Sandy with part 2 of that study.
So it's safe to say that all the people around Saul at the time, and Saul himself, they're thunderstruck.
Mm-hmm.
He's been floored. He's got dirt on his face. He stands up. And he's obedient at this point. He knows he's in the presence of a superior power. So I don't think he hesitated one bit. When he was told to get up, he got up. And yet, he's being dressed down by somebody he is certain, until that moment, either is evil or doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, everything changed. Not because he thought about it. Not because he reasoned it out. Not because he reconsidered his position. He changed in a flash, because the flash changed everything.
He encountered the living Christ.
Yeah. And encountered him as living. Mm-hmm. And he encountered him as I am.
Yes.
And so now everything he's ever thought has been put into quicksand. Hmm. And his entire foundation for life, his purpose for living, everything he thought he was going to be is shattered.
Completely gone.
And in some ways, God will do that, and I've seen it happen in certain lives, where he literally has to shatter their life in order to rebuild it in his own image.
Mm.
Think about the people that you may have known, listener, who have dealt with drugs or other dependencies over years, and the destruction that comes through families because of those kind of addictions. There's all kinds of addictions out there that will haunt mankind until it's redeemed completely and restored unto what God intended. There's going to be this kind of trauma that travels like a shockwave out from lives that succumb to temptations and live a lie and believe a lie.
Mm.
And we believe many lies throughout our lives, and some of them have great consequence, not just for that person, but for everyone around them.
Well, I've heard it said that sometimes our choices lead God to severe mercy.
Mm.
And we make choices often that are completely outside of what God's plan is for us. Even sometimes we think we're doing the right thing, but we're not truly seeking God's wisdom for our lives.
Yeah.
And he will intervene in a severe yet merciful way to bring about change in our life that puts us on the path that he has designed for us. And that's a beautiful thing and a tough thing at the same time.
Now imagine Saul walking that road at this point. It's not just the next block down that he's going to Damascus. Somewhere between Galilee, maybe up in the Golan Heights, going over those mountains on the way to Damascus is where this event happened.
They're still
walking, and now he's walking blind. This is a long, tough road for him. And everything he's thinking at this point has got to be traumatic. He's being ordered around by the one he's trying to persecute, and he realizes he's persecuting a living person. Being,
mm-hmm.
And that the persecution is truly persecution and not justice.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time he gets there, the gig may be up. This may be his last day on earth. He thinks he's dead.
Mm.
He's a dead man walking.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine the thoughts going through his head. Everything I've ever believed is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably his first emotional response. Now, it's true that everything he believed was a lie. But it doesn't mean that everything he knows is false.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
And he's going to discover when he gets to Damascus that the things he actually knows about God are in fact true, but never understood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So his friends lead him to Damascus and leave him there in the home of Judas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's there 3 days. He waits 3 days and he doesn't eat and he doesn't drink. And he just prays for 3 days. He's completely blind during this time. You had an interesting take on that. I want you to go ahead and talk about that.
Well, imagine that you think you're dead. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's now been cursed by God. He's blind. Mm-hmm. And yet from the depth of his despair and from the living hell he feels like he's in, the grave itself, he calls out to God. Mm-hmm. He knows the record of Jesus. He knows the thing that Jesus said in front of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin when questioned earlier, and how he stood silent under the final declaration of guilt. He knows the record. He's probably been studying it as he marches off towards Damascus to bring accusations against the believers. Did Jesus not say this heresy, this false prophecy? He would accuse people of that and then drag them off to prison. Mm-hmm. He knows the record. He also knows that Jesus said, "You'll be given no sign except the sign of Jonah." Mm-hmm. And now he's Jonah, just like Jesus, for 3 days at the bottom of the pit, unable to see, unable to respond. He feels like he's dead. He's going through a kind of living death right mm-hmm. now. And he's got to know the words of Jesus at this point. They're rattling in his brain. So something about the hope that we get from the story of Jonah, I think, comes into Saul at this point, and he calls out to God.
So meanwhile, in Damascus, on the other side of town, perhaps, there's a man named Ananias, and he's praying, and he's a devout man of God, a devout believer of in Jesus.
He may be a scholar, he may be a tradesman, he may be who knows what.
Right.
All we know about him is that when God said, "Ananias," he said, "Here I am."
Mm-hmm. And he had a vision of Jesus speaking to him, and Jesus said to him, "Get up and go to Straight Street, to the house of Judas, and ask about a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me at this very moment, and he's had a vision of a man by your name who will come, lay hands on him, and heal his eyesight." I want to just pause right here and say, wow. I mean, this is God's orchestration of events that lead to a healing and a conversion and the beginnings of changing the world.
I think most of the time that I read God revealing himself like this, he's not revealing things yet to come, although those are embedded in this revelation. Mm-hmm. He's revealing what he's up to and what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
He's telling Ananias, dude, he's telling Ananias, "Son, you are here. I'm talking to you." And at the same time, Saul across town is praying to me. And this is what's going on in his mind. Ananias is getting an idea of what the presence of God really means. Mm-hmm. That he's not unaware. He doesn't lose his focus. He can juggle more than one thing at a time. And that they are to play a part in God's time.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a time of kairos. The encounter, the change, the big thing that you've been hoping and waiting for. Not just waiting along Chronos time, but the kairos moment, the encounter.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's being told this is what's happening. And now Ananias's response is a little interesting, because you would think if that was so clear, if it was so obvious that God was revealing himself and revealing who this person is and where he is and where you are to go, and he's so specific about it, that he would just say, "Yes, sir." But not Ananias.
Well, I think it's interesting that this is in here, and I love that it's in here, Ananias' response, because I think sometimes in our own minds we think, oh man, if I heard the voice of God speaking to me, I would immediately obey and do whatever mm-hmm. he said. Well, Ananias did.
Yeah. And it's a prayer, because you're talking to God, mm-hmm. right? So his prayer comes out as a complaint in a way. The first thing we hear about Ananias' response is, "But Ananias answered." How many times do we go to God where we know he's told us something, and then we have to go make it all preachy and tell him back what he really should have told us in the first place, because we are convinced of something otherwise. And Ananias complains to him, "Lord, I've heard about this man from many people, especially how much suffering and evil he's brought on your saints." In other words, God, do you know who you're talking
don't
about?
Don't you know what you're asking me?
He's been persecuting your people at Jerusalem, and here in Damascus, he has authority from the high priest to put into chains all who call on your name.
I love how we tell God what he already knows.
The duh prayers.
Right. We say, yeah. God, don't you see this? Don't you know this? Mm-hmm. Of course he knows, but I think he's patient with us.
But the Lord said to him, go.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Coming up next, more with Bram and Sandy Floria as they chase the word together here on Compassion Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Bram Floria, president of Compassion Radio. Everything we do is done with the intent to build you up in the Christian faith and to give you opportunities to help build the kingdom around the world. We have the great privilege of celebrating our 75th anniversary. It's hard to believe that this unique radio ministry has been on the air for 75 years. Even more amazing, Compassion Radio is the only completely listener-supported radio program on the air this long. We are not funded by a huge church organization or wealthy benefactor. You are our church, our sending agency, and our partners. I know that God has been working through you to make it possible for us to do this work each and every day. Right now, I want to offer you a special opportunity. If this broadcast has ever challenged you in your faith, inspired you to serve, or encouraged you in any way to do better in your walk with God, please let us know right now by supporting this daily radio ministry and the international mission projects of Compassion Radio with your prayers and with your financial support. Please, friends, reach out today to show us that support as we celebrate 75 years of broadcasting a message of hope found in Christ alone. If you're able to invest with a one-time, or better yet, a regular monthly gift, it will go a long, long way to making sure we remain on the air for another 75 years. You can reach us by calling 1-800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click the donate button at the top. And new for this year, you can give right through your phone. Just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thank you so much for every prayer and your consistent financial support.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Ananias complains to him, Lord, I've heard about this man from many people, especially how much suffering and evil he's brought on your saints. In other words, God, do you know who you're talking
don't
about?
Don't you know what you're asking me?
He's been persecuting your people at Jerusalem, and here in Damascus, he has authority from the high priest to put into chains all who call on your name.
I love how we tell God what he already knows.
The duh prayers.
Right. We say, yeah. God, don't you see this? Don't you know this? Mm-hmm. Of course he knows, but I think he's patient with us.
But the Lord said to him, go, for this man is deliberately chosen by me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and sons of Israel. For I will make it clear to him how much he must suffer and endure for my name's sake. Now, you and I talked about this yesterday. And my question here is, why is that detail in there? Why does God have to tell Ananias how much Saul is going to suffer and that he's going to make it clear to him? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It seems like an odd detail, but it's there in the record that his revelation to Ananias included the knowledge that there would be suffering ahead mm-hmm. for Saul, for somebody who had great authority and should have had all the comforts and ease with which goes great authority and wealth. Mm-hmm. And yet, God is telling Ananias, the greatest of my missionaries, and he's already kind of disclosed it. He's going places. He's going to be before kings. He's going to suffer for it mm-hmm. and for my name's sake. He's making a statement about those who would aspire to greatness, I think. Think hard about what you're committing to God, because mm-hmm. God never promises us ease. In fact, he guarantees us, and in some ways, he will always use suffering, persecution, or something like that, which we would see as pain, to bring him glory and to bring us into him. Mm-hmm. No one is excluded from this. Mm-hmm. So our acceptance of who God is and who he is as being good does not preclude suffering. Mm-hmm. We've talked many times about what suffering could mean for the believer. And in our lives, suffering comes in different forms and different degrees than we might think. And we get this comparison game going. Well, it's not so bad like they've got it in China, or right. It's not so bad as this person who lost their job and their family, their house burned down in a fire. We do this comparison game while we're trying to give ourselves our own kind of self-righteousness. Well, therefore, I'm not really called to go do this difficult thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not called to the heart of Africa. I'm not whatever. Because we compare ourselves out of being in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Ananias is being told that this is the mark of discipleship. This man is going where I'm sending him. He's praying to me right now. And I think he's in some ways disciplining Ananias by saying, he's going to suffer for my name's sake. You can't get off your couch and go at least talk to him. I think Ananias gets it now. He's in this for a reason, and God chose him for a reason. And he's made this appointment happen.
Well, at some point, Ananias came to Christ himself. And we don't know his backstory. We don't know where he comes from, if he is originally from Damascus, yeah. or if he was part of the diaspora that fled Jerusalem when the first persecutions came
right.
after the stoning of Stephen. So we really don't know
right.
where he comes from.
All we know is that he's in Christ because Jesus is talking to him.
Correct. And we know that he is a teacher of some sort because we're going to read further on that after he goes, he is going to teach Saul about the way.
Yeah. So that first encounter happens next. He gets up immediately and goes to this house. Now, imagine that Judas's house is not something unknown. If Saul is being brought to Damascus, he's a dignitary. So my guess is he's going literally to the embassy, some official's house that's known to the authorities there. So it's like walking up to the governor's mansion, probably. And so Ananias is showing a bit of cultural courage here by walking right up to the authorities of the day. He's not a hidden spot, I don't think. I think it's a very public place. And here he presents himself. And he's left with him in the room, and he lays his hands on Saul first. I think this is important. He touches him. And then he says, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you came to Damascus has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to proclaim Christ to both Jews and Gentiles." That's a big proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
This is a commissioning. This is an anointing. This is a sending out all in one.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like being ordained and commissioned to the mission all in one moment.
And this happened right before he was actually healed.
Correct. And I think that's a very important point. All these things are revealed and promised by God so that when the healing comes, we wouldn't lose sight of what God intended. That it was all about him to start with, and we can't lose sight of the fact that God has a plan that seems impossible until the healing takes place.
Right, right.
So the statement's made, and then immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he got up, and the first thing he did was he got baptized.
Mm-hmm.
Who was in the room with him but Ananias? The first guy that knows for certain that Saul is now a disciple, a follower of Christ, is the very guy that was very uncertain about what God's intentions just minutes before.
Right.
God braved him on. And got him there and got him in a place where he was literally the instrument of salvation for Saul.
Hmm.
That's an incredible story.
Yeah.
About us being willing to step into what would seem so dangerous and so reckless, but we are convinced that God says go. We can't not.
Mm-hmm.
We do it at our own, I think, moral and moral peril, refusing God's instruction, go where I'm sending you.
Right.
And that may be the next room over. Maybe there's somebody who's listening to this program right now that knows they're going home right now to a situation where God has been telling them forever, get honest about your faith with the person you're going to meet when you come through that door. Or to bless somebody you've had resistance or resentment against. Mm-hmm. Ask forgiveness for the thing that you're embarrassed to admit you did wrong. Something that God's prompting you.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting phrase happened in that first encounter with Jesus we didn't cover earlier, honey, and that was what Jesus said about how he's been working on Saul.
Mm-hmm.
All this time, he's been saying, I've been there working to get your attention. It's hard to keep kicking against the goads. Now, that's a phrase that kind of worked its way through our language and culture for thousands of years now. It means simply this. Big old oxen are tough old beasts, and they take tough old point sticks to get them going where you want them to go. they don't move easily. And they're dangerous animals. They could kick you right through your stomach and kill you, you mm-hmm. know? And yet they've got to be trained and forced to submit. A couple of things that God's saying here in that little encounter with Saul. One, you are really stubborn. You have not been listening to all the ways I've been pricking you for a very long time. The more you kick, the more you're going to get injured. You know this. The most stubborn animals are the ones that have to literally be lamed in order to comply. Mm. He's also calling Saul an ox. Strong, able to haul things. He's designed him that way in his psyche, maybe his body. Maybe he's a stocky guy. I don't know. But he's also stubborn as all get out. And that's a problem. Mm-hmm. And God's saying, do not impale yourself any further. You're driving this point mm-hmm. in, but you are not going to win this argument, Saul.
Right. Well, when we looked that up, I remember when we talked about it originally, I said, I don't even know what that means. I've heard that phrase probably my whole life. Mm-hmm. And when you looked it up and we talked about it, it was very interesting how it is very damaging to kick against the goads.
Yeah.
Because that pointed stick is going to impale you, like you said. And when you kick against it, it's going to injure you. And that's exactly what Saul was doing. He was kicking against the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And now we know that he was witness to Stephen's murder. We know that he was witness to probably all other kinds of things that happened to believers throughout the... He was a perpetrator of evil in their lives. So he was definitely kicking against the goads. And Jesus says to him, why are you doing this? Just, you need to stop because I have a better plan. And I'm going to use that wounding to bring about great revival across the land.
Yeah. And Jesus is also saying, I'm not relenting. Mm-hmm. I'm stronger than you. That point's not going anywhere. The more you kick against it, the more you cut yourself because I'm not backing up. Mm-hmm. You will listen. You will comply. You will go.
He relentlessly pursued him.
Which kind of begs an interesting question in today's age. We think about our absolute free will. Even folks that believe in more of a Reformed tradition talk about free will a lot because it exists. We know it does. We make choices. It's kind of weird to think that Paul, in this situation, does not feel like he's got much of a choice. Mm-hmm. I mean, God has literally conspired against him for this moment, it seems. Mm. Of course he had free will along the way. He studied hard. He pursued the things his heart was bent towards. And he's born in the time that he's born. If he had not been born then, of course, there would have been no Saul and then Paul in the Bible. God knew, and he put him exactly where he wanted him. Mm. Is that free will? I don't know. But how he responded and how he spoke so effusively over the next few years about the power of God to save you and how wonderful it is to respond to him and how freeing it is to be saved, how liberated we are. We're liberated to freedom indeed. Mm-hmm. He talks about that so much in the next few years. What a powerful statement to say when it seemed like I was trapped, when it seemed like I was dead, when it seemed like I had no way out or no way forward, I was going to die here. In fact, he was willing to just starve himself to death if necessary. In his desperation, God met him and resurrected him. And his first experience of Christ is one of death and resurrection in himself. Mm-hmm. He sees it played out in his own body. And his first act of obedience is to be baptized and give his full allegiance to Christ. Jesus as Lord, as Liberator, as the coming King.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.